Jesus said, if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a ditch. You know, that parable is really self-explanatory. Because if you want someone to guide you, you need someone who knows the way, someone who could see, and someone who could navigate you. Someone who doesn't know the way, someone who is blind, they're not going to be able to help you. Because you need to see and know where you're going in order to lead someone or in order to be led. Have you ever been in a situation where you needed someone to guide you? You find yourself in that new city and you're lost. Which way do we go? How do we get back onto the freeway? Well, I remember the first time Nicole and I drove up here to visit and for me to speak at the church. We spent the afternoon with you and we had an evening service. And when everything was done and we're getting ready to go home, I didn't have my bearings straight. Okay, how do we get back? And Nicole's GPS was on the fritz. And people were telling us, well, you go on the 4. It's like, I thought we were supposed to go on Byron Highway. Well, Byron Highway is the 4. And it's just the more we got directions, the more confused I got. And he said, oh, boy. And at that point, Tony stepped in. And Tony said, you know what? We live in Byron. We live right along the way. Why don't you just follow us? Boy, that sounded really good. And he could have made 3 rights and 2 lefts. Or was it 3 lefts and 2 rights? It didn't matter. I didn't have to remember anything. All I had to do was follow him. And so we followed him and we made all the twists and turns. And we got into Byron and he pulled over and he just waved us on. Just go straight and you'll be fine. You know, that reminds me of our passage this morning, because in our passage this morning, Jesus reminds us of the way that we need to go and how we need to trust in him. You see, we're finishing up our series on Jesus, that Jesus is more than a baby. And we've been looking at the I am statements of Jesus. These are the statements where Jesus demonstrates and he explains who he is, that he is the Son of God, that he is God the Son, and that we trust in the Father and we trust in him. And as Jesus teaches what we see this morning, that Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. It's important to have directions if you're going to a new city or if you're going to visit a friend. It's so important that you have instructions. How much more that you have accurate directions to get to heaven? This is so important. This is a critical truth that every single person needs to know. And Jesus says, I'm the way. You want to get to heaven? You want to get to the Father? You follow me. I am the way and the truth and the life. The most critical directions anyone needs are directions of who God is and how to get to heaven. And there's lots of people out there with lots of opinions. Lots of people saying, hey, you could get to heaven this way and you could get to heaven that way. All roads lead to heaven, they'll tell you. And that's a lie. Because God says, there's one way. There's one heaven, there's one Redeemer, there is one way to heaven. People will tell you that there are many ways to heaven, and just choose the one that best suits you. You know, if God is real, and if God is God, he has a way. We see the order, we see design, and everything that he's created, everything that he does, and God says there's one way. There's a path and a plan of salvation that I have provided for you, and salvation is only in that way. Any other way is a way that leads to destruction. Jesus said it this way. Jesus said, narrow is the path that leads to life, and there are few that find it. And wide is the path, and wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many enter thereby. You see, Jesus, he is concerned about you, and he's concerned about your soul, and he's concerned that you enter into fellowship with him and you enter into heaven. There's so many distracting ways, and Jesus says, no, trust in me, I am the way. And so Jesus gives us this wonderful truth, and he says, just follow me. Trust me, follow me, and I will lead you. I will lead you into eternity, into fellowship with my Father. And we could trust the Lord. As we look at this passage, Jesus explains to us this key truth that he is the way. And as he teaches through this passage, we see three warnings. Three warnings that kept the disciples on track. Jesus was concerned that the disciples would be kept on track and that they wouldn't be distracted, that they wouldn't be deceived, that they wouldn't veer to the right or to the left, but that they would remain devoted to him. Jesus gave these warnings to his beloved disciples so that they would remain in him and not be led astray. And as we look at our passage today, we're going to look at three warnings. And those three warnings, if you're taking notes, is do not be discouraged. That's the first warning. Don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged and worried about the future things. If you've trusted Christ and if you're following him, you could rest secure in that. The second truth we're going to see is Jesus gives a warning saying, don't be doubtful. Don't doubt. Trust me. And third, the third warning he gives is do not be deceived. And so as we look at our passage, you could take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. Let me go ahead and read it for us. Jesus says, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwellings. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. You see, Jesus gives this wonderful truth and these warnings saying, hey, don't be deceived and don't be discouraged and don't be doubtful. Trust in me and follow. It's like that old song, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. And that's the Christian life. Lord, I'm trusting you and I'm going to follow you. And that means being obedient to you. That means saying no to sin. But Lord Jesus, I'm going to trust you and I'm going to walk in your way. And Jesus says, hey, I am the way and the truth and the life. So as we look at this first warning, if you're taking notes, we'll see, don't be discouraged. Do not be discouraged. This is the first command that Jesus gives the disciples here in this passage. And we see in the beginning of John 14, 1, do not let your heart be troubled. Don't be troubled, don't be dismayed, don't be discouraged. Now, why would Jesus give them this command? Don't be troubled. Don't let your hearts be troubled and worried. Well, you have to remember the context of this. We're here in John chapter 14. They're in the upper room. Jesus has been with the disciples. They've had the Last Supper. Jesus has explained to the disciples what's going to happen and that the time of his death is imminent. You can understand why they would be troubled, why they would be discouraged and worrying. Because the context of this, what we see in John chapter 13, is that Jesus announced to them within the scope of an hour, hey, one of you is going to betray me. And all of the disciples, they looked around the room. Lord, is it me? Is it me? Is it me? It's during that time that Jesus tells Judas, what you must do, do quickly. And Jesus leaves the room and he goes to gather the officials that are going to arrest Jesus. Jesus tells the disciples, I'm leaving now, and you can't follow me. I'm going back to heaven. I'm going back to my Father, and you can't follow. You have to remain here on earth to let people know about me. So the disciples were going to have to do the ministry without Jesus. You could understand why they were troubled. Jesus announces that he's going to die on the cross, that he's going to be lifted up and glorified, and they knew what that meant. Because Jesus had taught them before that he would be lifted up on the cross, that he would be crucified, and that is how he would conquer death. Jesus announced to them that Peter, their leader, would deny him 3 times. You can look in John chapter 13 that Jesus says, therefore, when he had gone out, this is Judas, going out, Jesus said, now is the time the Son of Man is glorified. And God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him immediately. What does that mean? He's going to be glorified. That sounds really good. God's going to be glorified. Well, how is he going to be glorified? By rendering his life as an atoning sacrifice on the cross. You know, you think about how worthy God is. And we think about the worship of Christ. Why do we worship him? Well, one of the key reasons is that he, being innocent, laid down his life in the place of guilty people like us. Who would do that? Only a righteous and good God. Only a God with infinite perfect love would say, you have a need and you can't solve that need, but I can, and I'm going to enter into this world born of a virgin. I'm going to live a perfect life, and I'm going to die on the cross, and I'm going to exchange my life, and I'm going to lay down my life and experience death so you don't have to, and you could experience life. Who would do that? Only God, only perfect love. We would understand that if someone needed a kidney transplant or a liver transplant, that they go to the family and the family members say, yeah, I'll give my kidney to my sister. I'll give part of my liver to a close family member because I love them. Well, what if they said, hey, you know, we need you to give your heart to this family member. It's like, well, if I gave my heart, then that means that they would live, but I would die. Yeah, that's what it means. And how many people would volunteer for that? Well, it's like, you know, I love them. But not that much. And when you read the pages of Scripture, what do we see? That Christ says, I came to lay down my life. I came not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. That's what God did. And we respond to that. We see, Jesus, you laid down your life to save someone like me, a sinner. You did that for a sinner. You are more glorious and more good than I could ever imagine. This is what Jesus is talking about, that the Son of Man is glorified and that God the Father is glorified in him. Why? Because he would lay down his life on the cross. Jesus says, no one takes my life from me, I lay it down and I take it up again. I'm going to rise from the dead. And Jesus says, I'm going to be glorified immediately. Jesus says, little children, I am with you a little longer. You will seek me. And as I said to the Jews now, I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. Jesus is going back to his Father. He's going to die on the cross. He's going to be raised 3 days later, according to the Scriptures. And he's going to be taken back up into heaven. And Jesus says, I'm not going to be with you any longer. So you can understand why the disciples were discouraged and why they were grieved. Not only that, but Jesus announces that Simon Peter is going to deny him. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered, "Where I go, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you right now? I will lay down my life for you." And Peter understood, okay, Jesus is going to die. He's going to go to heaven. Peter says, "Lord, I'll follow you. I'll lay down my life for you." And Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, a rooster will not crow until you have denied me three times." So during this upper room, Jesus announces, I'm gonna be glorified. I'm going to die on the cross. I'm going to go to heaven and you can't follow. One of you is going to betray me, and even Peter is going to deny me. Not just once, not just twice, but three times he's going to deny me. And now the disciples are saying, man, everything's falling apart. And if Peter, the strong one, the bold one, if he denies the Lord, what's going to happen to us? And it's here in this context that Jesus gives these warnings. Don't be troubled. Don't be doubtful. Don't be deceived. Trust me. Follow me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So the disciples were troubled. They were discouraged. Everything was going in a direction that they had not anticipated. And it's in the midst of this, as they are worried and discouraged, that Jesus says, don't be discouraged. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Jesus gives them a second warning. And that second warning is this: don't be doubtful. Don't be doubtful. You've trusted me, you've followed me this far, and continue to follow me. Jesus' words were going to be proven right. Jesus was about to be vindicated in every level. And we see in John 14 that Jesus says, "Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus is saying, don't doubt. I have it covered. I've prepared a way for you. My Father has prepared a way for you. And look at what Jesus does. Jesus, he explicitly links belief in the Father and belief in him as the Son. Believe in God, who God is. God is eternally existing, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, you've believed in me and you've believed in God. That's what you ought to do. Believe in God and believe also in me. Jesus, when he calls them to believe in God, they grew up, they were Hebrews. They believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jesus says, believe in him and believe in me as the Son of God. Believe in me as the great I am. Now, Jesus had already explained to them, and we've looked at this over the last 6 weeks, with the I am statements. The I am statements are statements where Jesus is claiming deity, that he is the great I am. This is how God identified himself in the wilderness, in Exodus, where Moses said, "Lord, you're sending me to the people, and they're going to ask, who sent me? Who is God?" And the Lord said, "Tell them I am who I am. Tell them I am has sent you." And really, that's the definition of God. God is all-powerful, self-existing being who has created everything. Where did God come from? Well, God has no beginning and no end. That's what makes him God. God is self-existing and all-powerful. If God needed a creator, he wouldn't be God. That thing would be God. Well, God is self-existing. He is. He exists in and of himself eternally. In eternity past and eternity in the future. And Jesus used these I am statements to refer to his deity. I am. Jesus said, unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. Jesus said, I am the door. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And we've looked at these I am statements, and here Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And so here we see that Jesus is saying, yeah, believe in God and believe in me. Because to believe in God means to accept his provision of his Son. And to say, I know Christ. If you know Christ, you know the Father. This is so important, that to believe in God and to believe in Jesus, this is the detail that God wants you to understand. And what does that mean, to believe in God and to believe in Jesus Christ? Well, believe that God has prepared a place for you. God the Father has prepared heaven, and he welcomes sinners into heaven through redemption in Christ. This is God's desire and his intention, that God would look upon a sinful humanity and in his grace say, I want to establish a relationship with you and receive you to myself. And I've given you my Son to pay the penalty. By believing in him, you can have fellowship and forgiveness with me. So to believe in God and to believe in Christ means to believe that God has reserved a place for you. It means to believe that Christ Jesus has also prepared a place. Look at what it says in the passage. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. So Christ has prepared a place. To believe in God and to believe in Christ is to believe that Christ will come again to receive you to himself. Christ is not done with his people. And that he eagerly awaits for that day where he will bring you into fellowship into heaven and bring you face to face with himself and to bring you into the presence of the Father. To believe in God and to believe in Christ is to believe that you will be with Christ. You'll see your Savior face to face. That he'll receive you and welcome you. Not as judge, but to receive you as Savior and Lord. See, Jesus, as he taught, he says, don't be doubtful. But believe in me. Believe in God. Believe also in me. And Jesus describes heaven. He says, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. Obvious reference to heaven. And he uses this term, dwelling places. The Old King James, it was translated mansions, right? We get this idea of mansions in glory. Well, that's not the idea. The idea isn't the size or the splendor of the dwelling place. The idea is the permanence. Right? It's where do you live? Well, where's your permanent residence? You're alive and you're here today, but you don't live here at the church. You live in your home. That's your permanent residence. That's your dwelling. Jesus says, my Father and I have prepared a permanent dwelling for you, heaven forever, eternal life. Now you could look back on times where you've gone on vacation. Maybe you've gone on a cruise, or you've gone down to the beach and you've rented a house, or you go up to the mountains and you rent a cabin and you're there and it's a wonderful vacation. And you're enjoying it. Maybe you're there for a weekend or a whole week, and then the days start ticking down to when you have to leave and go back to your normal environment. And that last day comes and you have to pack up all the luggage and load up the car. And this big, beautiful place that you were staying in, this wonderful vacation, well, now it's come to an end. And you have to leave. And what Jesus is saying, in my Father's house are many permanent dwelling places. I have prepared a place for you in glory that will never end. You see, that's the point that Jesus is making. And he says, if it were not so, I would have told you. Jesus has had the reputation of telling the truth, even to the religious leaders, and they didn't like it. And they wanted to put Jesus to death because of it. And here Jesus says, you know what? If the truth was something different, I would tell you the truth. But the truth is, in my Father's house are many dwellings. And he has prepared a place for you, and I go to prepare a place for you. And because I'm preparing a place for you, I'm going to make sure that you get there. I'm not going to go through all that work, and then, forget about them. No, Jesus is telling the truth. And what he's saying is, don't be doubtful. What I've told you and what you understand, what you have believed in so far, continue to believe that. Don't doubt me. Don't be discouraged and don't doubt. Jesus says, believe in God, believe also in me. What does that mean? It means to believe in the Father and in the Son, and both the Father and Son are God. We see that from Scripture. In the first page of the Old Testament, God said, as he began to create, let us make man in our image. Like who's the us? When God speaks, the Hebrew word for God, Elohim, is a plural form. Who is the plurality? Well, as you see throughout the Old Testament about this promised Messiah who would come, this promised Savior who would be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, this promised Savior who would be Emmanuel, God with us. As God reveals more of his word, we see more of the pieces of the puzzle come into place, and we see that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Equally eternal, equally powerful. It's not they're not three gods. It's one God who exists in three persons. And so Jesus is not the Father, and the Father is not the Spirit. They're equal and distinct, and all three of them, they are a unity and they are God. Jesus explains this. You can look down in John chapter 14, verses 9 through 11. As Jesus continues to teach, he says, have I been with you so long and have you not come to know me, Philip? Remember, Philip says, Lord, how do we know the way? How do we know the way that you're going? He who has seen me has seen the Father, is what Jesus says. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his work. Believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. And what Jesus is saying is, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. This is why Jesus came, to put God on display. God is invisible. And so how does God communicate? Well, he sent prophets and he gave his word. But lastly, he sends his own son saying, my son will reveal who I am. As you see my son, you see me. We do this all the time. You see children. And you see parents, and maybe you have someone visiting, and you know the child well, and then their parents come, and you're like, oh, that's so-and-so's mom. I could see it. It's uncanny. The resemblance is so strong. And what Jesus did, he came to reveal who the Father was. And so Jesus says, Philip, how can you say, show us the Father? I've been showing you the Father because you've seen me. Everything is true about me, my love, my compassion, my power, my goodness, my grace, all of those things. My Father's not any different. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus said in John 10:30, simply, I and the Father are one. You can't look at the Father and not see Christ, and you can't look at Christ and not see the Father. Jesus, in John chapter 6, he says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written, and they shall be taught by God. And who has been teaching them for these 3 years? Jesus." This is a clear reference to Jesus being God. "And everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who was from God. He has seen the Father." What Jesus is saying is, I came from heaven. I came from my Father. I've seen the Father, and I'm revealing him to you. The book of Hebrews, it says that Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. So when Jesus says, believe in God and believe also in me, he means that belief in God means belief in the Father and the Son. You see, you can't say, well, I believe in God, but I don't believe in Jesus. On Tuesday mornings, we have our food ministry, and we invite people as they're waiting to get food, hey, come inside. We have coffee. We have refreshments. We do a Bible study with them, and people will say, you know, oh yeah, I'm religious, but I'm not a Christian. I believe in God, but I'm not a Christian. And the truth is, Jesus says, you can't believe in my Father without believing in me. You can't believe in God and then deny his path for salvation. You can't say, I believe in God, but God's way of salvation with Jesus and belief in him, no, I'm rejecting that. Well, guess what? You've not just rejected Jesus, but you've rejected God as well. You can't have one without the other. And this is what Jesus is stressing. Believe in God, believe also in me. You know, the theologian Leon Morris, he says, faith in Jesus is not something additional to faith in God to be exercised by those who choose to do so. Rather, since Jesus is the revelation of God and there is no way to the Father but through him, faith in the Father in any meaningful sense is impossible apart from faith in Christ. This is what Jesus says. For the Jewish people are like, oh yeah, we believe in the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And Jesus said, you know what? If God was your Father, if you believed in him, you would have received me. But because you didn't receive me, that shows that you don't believe in God. Boy, what a strong statement. And what Jesus is doing is he's showing that wide is the path that leads to destruction, but narrow is the path that leads to eternal life. There's only one way, and it's in him. And so the key truth that Jesus, as he teaches, saying, hey, don't be doubtful. Don't doubt what I've taught you. Don't doubt the promises that God has made. Don't doubt any of these things. Because if you believe in me, you have the Father. If you have fellowship with me, you have fellowship with the Father. If you have fellowship with the Father, you have fellowship with me. Believe in God, believe also in me. And what Jesus teaches is you cannot have faith in one without faith in the other. It's a package deal. Because Jesus is God and the Father is God. You can't deny God without denying the other members of the Trinity. So as Jesus teaches, he gives these warnings. Don't be doubtful and don't be discouraged. And we look at our third this morning. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived into thinking, you know, there's another way. There's a better way. You know, Jesus, he had good intentions, but he doesn't really know the truth. Are you kidding me? Here Jesus says, do not be deceived. This is what we see in the rest of our passage. Jesus said, you know the way where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know the way that you are going. How do we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus said, you know where I'm going. Jesus is going back to heaven. He's going back to his Father. And the disciples, and Thomas is just, he's just verbalizing what all the disciples are thinking. We don't know the way. We don't know where you're going. How could we possibly know the way? And Jesus says, you know, you've heard me, you've seen me. I've taught you. I've been with you for these 3 years. How could you not know the way? You know, Jesus, his ministry, part of it was a redemptive ministry, laying down his life, paying the penalty for sins. The other part of the ministry was revelatory, explaining, revealing God's plans, revealing what the truth was. And one of those important truths that needed to be explained was who God is. Explaining the fullness of who God is. We see in John 1:18, God's word says, no one has seen God at any time. God is spirit. God is invisible. We know that the Holy Spirit is here with us today. We can't see him. We could see the effects that he produces in our lives. We know that God is omnipotent. We can't see him, but we could see his creation. We could see his works. And God's word says, no one has seen God at any time. Okay, so how do we know what God is like? It says, the only begotten God, right? Speaking of Christ, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained God. That's one of the reasons why Christ came, that he left the Father's side. He left from intimate fellowship with his Father in heaven. He left that and he came to earth to explain who the Father is. And that's why Jesus said, hey, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You can't see the Father, but I've made him known. You could see me, you could observe my life, you could hear my teaching. And now you know what the Father is like, because I'm just like him. I'm his son. Jesus did a lot of teaching and explanation, revealing who the Father was. John 6, 38 through 40, Jesus says, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me. Of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but I raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him has eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. Jesus says, this is the Father's will, is that you believe in me. Yeah, God wants you to believe in him, but he wants you to believe in me. So many passages that we see. I referenced this earlier in John 8, 42. Jesus said to the Jews that were rejecting him, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceed forth from God. I have not come on my own initiative, but he sent me. And even the enemies of Jesus, even the religious leaders who weren't accepting Jesus' claims, they knew that he was from the Father. We read about Nicodemus coming to Jesus at night saying, Rabbi, we know that you come from God and that you're a teacher, and no one can do these signs unless God is with him. And so the disciples, as Jesus is giving them these warnings saying, don't be deceived, don't be discouraged, don't be doubtful, point where they're at is that they don't fully understand. They've believed in Christ, they believe in God, and it's a genuine faith, but they don't fully understand. And what do they need? They needed to grow in faith. They needed to grow in faith and continue following Christ, trusting him. And that's like so many of us. Have you trusted Christ? Do you belong to him? Have you repented of your sins and trusted Christ and welcomed him into your life? You've committed yourself to him and said, Lord Jesus, I want to follow you. And you believe in him, but your faith in him isn't perfect. And God wants you to grow in greater maturity, greater knowledge of who he is. He wants you to grow to be proficient in following him and trusting him. He wants you to grow until that day that he takes you home. The disciples needed to grow, and God was faithful, and he did grow them. We read later in the New Testament of how God used them. You know what? God wants to grow you, and God wants to use you to make him known with the people around you. God wants to use you. And so he says, don't be deceived. You could trust me. You could follow me. And what does Jesus tell them? As Jesus says, hey, don't be deceived and discouraged and doubtful, what was it that they were to cling to? This truth that Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. You know, as Jesus explains the way, the truth, and the life, what does that mean? Jesus is the way. It means that Jesus is the connection and the link between you and the Father. If you want to have forgiveness and fellowship with God, Jesus is the only link. Perhaps if the New Testament and Jesus came at this time in history, perhaps Jesus would have used the illustration, I am the key. I'm the one and only key that can unlock fellowship with God and eternal life. Jesus is the way. He's the connection, the link between God and man. What does it mean for Jesus to be the truth? It means that Jesus teaches with complete reliability. You could trust him. Didn't Jesus explain and predict his death on the cross, his resurrection after 3 days? Hasn't Jesus been vindicated as he taught and as he taught the truth and no one could refute it? Well, Jesus is the truth. You could trust him. And Jesus is the life. Jesus is life itself. He's the source of life. All things came into existence by him. You read John chapter 1, that when you look at John chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and earth. It's speaking of Jesus. And John 1 makes that clear that everything came into existence through Christ. And that life is in him. And to know Jesus is to know life and to follow Jesus and to be with him means that you are connected with God and you have eternal life. And so being the way and the truth and the life, Jesus is uniquely able to make a way and to lead you in the way to eternal life. You see, this is what Jesus wanted them to understand. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And there's only one way. Jesus leads us in that way. Jesus taught the way, and he says, come follow me. Believe in me, turn from your sins, come follow me. I'm going to lead you in the right way. And so we keep Jesus near. We say, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. Help me to follow you. I need to grow in trusting you. I need to grow in following you. And he will be faithful, and he will lead us as a good shepherd leads his sheep. He's going to lead us in growth. You see, the key truth is that there is only one way. And this is God's design. That there's one mediator. How can sinful man have fellowship with a righteous and holy God? Well, that God would take on flesh and would live a righteous and holy life so he could be a mediator between God and man. We see this in 1 Timothy 2 as Paul preaches the gospel. that Jesus is the bridge between God and man. Look at what it says, 1 Timothy 2:5. It says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." What does this mean? It means that Jesus came to earth fully man in order to be a mediator, to bring you into fellowship with the Father. And so as we look at this, Jesus says, "I'm the way, the truth, and life. I'm the one and only way." Have you put your faith in Christ? You may be here this morning and you haven't trusted in Him. You know, you could trust Him. He is reliable. He is faithful. He laid down His life to pay the penalty for your sins and to bring you into life and eternity with the Father. You could turn to Him today and say, "Jesus, I need to trust You. I want to trust You. I want to turn from anything that's displeasing You, and I want to follow You. You come into my life." Really, that's the first step of saying, "Lord, okay, I want to follow You." For those of you that already have done that, Jesus says, "I'm the way, the truth, and life. Keep following Me. Keep trusting Me. Keep clinging to Me."